but I figure you can get it caught back up.
I got it.
Y'all can share a little, Casey.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, we certainly can. I'd like to first volunteer to use the hydroseeder once it's running.
You what?
I'd like to volunteer to use the hydroseeder once it's running. Oh. It would be an ideal situation for our application.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that.
That said, as you know, we had a DEQ meeting last week attended by two of the engineers, Dr. Burnett, and two of the DEQ party. And in my opinion, it was a very successful, very productive meeting. We walked away from there with the feeling that everybody's on the same page and that we are going to work together as a group to accomplish this, where it will require that regardless whether we do it, they review it and reject it, or whether we have this review ongoing, then our final permit review will be a short process because it will have been reviewed and accepted in stages as we put it together.
Okay.
That's where I am on this, and that's what my take is as the observer for the county. I would like now for Dr. Burnett and
Mike
to give you their overview.
Well, it was a good meeting, and you know, we looked at all the points. You know, basically what we're trying to do is get everything in compliance with the DEQ, and at the same time set it up so that the county can save money in the long run. We went through a list of points. Dr. Burnett was there to see, and these are the same points that we had brought up back in, I believe it was September, October. I think priority-wise, what we're looking at in visiting with Ron is there's already existing data out there as far as the soils report out there. Some of it's just not classified well enough for us to just take that alone. And I think we need to do some supplemental drilling out there so that we know exactly what final cover we had, because everything hinges on on-site material on how we do intermediate final cover, that kind of thing. So we've already looked at the drainage, got it fixed where we can make the cells larger, have a higher cap. We're going to look into that so that we can get more storage there and help Ron do some proper planning for future construction projects so we're not moving dirt twice. And it all really hinges on where the dirt is and what we can use it for. So I think that's kind of where we're at. And we're hoping to have this major modification complete by December of this year. And it's very nice that we can work with the DEQ. We're able to submit preliminary plan suggestions, let them redline them in between. It's easier for them to get a handle on what we're doing, and rather than getting a big packet, we're going to end up reorganizing the permit so that it's easier to read for everybody. We're not throwing any old information away. We're going to utilize that to the best that we can, so we're not double spending money. But I think this is something, as far as the soil we were just discussing, is probably pertinent to move forward with this major modification.
Okay.
And I have a comment about that for just a second, please. That is necessary now. I mean, that even before we start considering permit modifications, we need those soil samples now, because I'm going to be at the very latest fall pulling dirt from somewhere other than the stockpile. Okay, so I need based on that information and the assumption that the design that we're putting together is going to work, which it will, where I'm going to get my dirt from next to cover what I'm doing now. So that has to that's an answer I have to have.
Right. Commissioner Burnett.
You know, I'd have to agree. The meeting of all parties was a very congenial, cordial, and I think productive. I think we're all on the same page. I think there were agreed upon plans that not only increase our efficiencies but decrease our cost. when looking at those design optimization concepts, a couple of them were agreed to be totally removed, and there was, I think, considerable process and direction on where to go. And I think Ron's exactly right in terms of that request for that analyzing the soil or figuring that out, whatever. And also, I think that there was some encouragement from DEQ that we've got that Ron's doing his job out there at the landfill, but also that we're working together to fit to correct something that had some flaws in it and moving forward. And I think the target date by December this year is very realistic, which I think is a tribute to you guys and the work you've done, plus building that bridge of relationship with the DEQ. I was quite impressed with how cordial that was. So it was very productive.
Well, and that this is something that we're going to need to revisit again here the first week of June, too, because we're talking about some pretty good budget issues here. Because we've also got engineering fees that we're going to be put off till our next budget also.
May I comment to that?
Go ahead.
Yes, we do. However, that the amount of engineering that we have not already addressed that will come up in budget is going to be very minimal at this point. We haven't spent a lot of money yet ahead of us.
Right.
And we are going to be able to, at this point, I'm positive, and all as positive as I can be, that we will be able to cover the excess engineering costs this year in our budget right now and still come in under budget by just moving money.
Still thinking
we're
going to be able to do that.
I know we're going to.
Okay.
It's there.
All right.
We made that race.
Right. But there are some outstanding bills that will be billed after.
Well,
July
there
1st.
Are, but where are we on that? What's your estimate?
I don't know where we stand right now.
We were just barely getting a good start on that $200,000 that we talked about before. So.
Right.
Okay. All right. And then with the major changes we're going to do by December, I mean, this all has to be put in this year's budget. So. Right.
The $200,000, I think, is appropriate to put in this budget because that's the commitment that we've made so far that to correct the problem.
Okay.
So yes, that money has to show up there.
We can have that discussion during budget. I'm just reminding us that we need to continue this discussion here the first week of June.
Okay.
It is flexible too.
Okay.
I mean,
Commissioner Knoll.
Just to change the subject a little bit. Where are we with Lincoln County? Has that been finalized? Or
I haven't seen any finalized signature on anything yet. The target is that it's in place for us to start our new year July 1 is the target date to accomplish that. I think it's
that was
said and done.
Their
crystal
legal
clear.
And our legal.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was supposed to be up to Matt and then, and then sign it.
Right.
So if it could be signed sooner, we could start prorating that contract immediately, in my mind, couldn't we?
The agreement is that it be implemented the 1st of July.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which would help with the budget.
It sure will.
Yeah.
I have it factored in.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything further, Ron?
No.
Okay. Gentlemen, anything further for Ron?
No.
Okay. Excellent. Sounds good. Appreciate
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you.
It.
Did you get your
answer to my Wild Lake?
I did, yes, sir.
Sorry,
23 is a guard.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rob.
I don't want to be a pain in the ass, but that was the big sales pitch.
Any concerns with that?
They should be trying to keep up with that.
All right, let's. We're ready for Unified Fire, Shad. Did you have something to present along with the sheriff too? Do you want to get him in and get him out?
He's on afterwards.
Exactly. Well, he's got a break. All right. Either way, however you want to do it, Shad, go right ahead.
I'll be real brief here with my regular report, and then we'll invite Casey up and move right along. To begin with, I would like to invite everybody to the Big Piney Catfish Fry on this Saturday. It'll be on Saturday, May 20th, beginning at 11 o'clock, and usually it goes most of the day down there. So please feel a formal invitation, and please feel welcome there to come down.
I normally attend, but I have continuing education this weekend, so I would way rather be at the Catfish Fry.
It's a good time, had by all. Real quickly, working through the budget, ongoing maintenance right now with the maintenance department to take care of some leaking roofs and basically some damage from the winter. Maintenance has been great to work with, and they continue to try to upgrade the fire departments and make sure they're serviceable. Emergency incidents, only 9 incidents last month. That's down quite a bit from the average, but I'm glad to say that. Is anytime that you hear me say that we're down, that's good news. No fire investigations last month. The prevention program, I mentioned this last time I was here, but we're back and fully staffed with that position, which we divided up into 3 areas of responsibility, and all 3 of those guys are working together very, very well. Just getting their feet underneath them, but I met with them last night in our command staff meeting, and they've got a lot of great plans for upcoming fire prevention efforts here in the near future. Training's going on. It's probably one of our strongest emphasis right now is on our training program, and it's very much so continuing to improve the organization. Couldn't be happier with the work that we're doing for our training program. In the near future, we're scheduled for an apparatus driver operator class, and a component of that will be offering the Class B driver's license to our firefighters so that they've got the training to do pre-trip inspections and understand how water surge works in the trucks and understand the difference between a big truck versus your private vehicle. And then in addition to that, how to pump the truck, what friction loss occurs in the hoses. And then on top of all that, they're also going to have the last month and a half of that class is going to be just nothing but how to use the aerial truck here in Pinedale. And so making sure that they understand the ins and outs of that unique piece of equipment. The other thing we've got coming up is every time we go to a structure fire that's away from the town limits, we always really struggle with establishing a rural water supply that's adequate for the amount of volume that we need. It's always hard to find water supply, and it's always hard to get enough of our tenders turning around and dropping that water off in what we call a drop tank and then drafting out of that drop tank. So we've brought in a specialized training program that we're going to offer on June 3rd, and then ask all of our firefighters to try to be at that specialized training to try to improve our efficiency and make sure that when we have fires that are in these remote locations that we're able to better supply the amount of water that's necessary for those large fires that sometimes occur. So I'm looking forward to that training as well. Training facility usage it's ongoing. One thing that maintenance has told me is that they continue to be surprised at how often the septic tanks need to be pumped out down there. So I think that's a reflection that we must be using it quite a bit. So, they told us that we got 360 hours of use here last month for April for using the training facility. Health and safety is ongoing. We just completed the big effort this year, which was all the firefighter physicals and stress tests, and then. Right now, we're looking closely at the amount of paperwork necessary for the public safety officer's benefit, the PSOB that it mentions there. That's the benefit that, in case if the worst was ever to happen, the Department of Justice, the federal government, provides a death benefit for emergency responders. But it's important to have the appropriate paperwork in place for that. And we haven't been able to do that in the past, but we're pushing real hard to make sure all of our firefighters have everything in place and just have some of that future planning that's necessary. The other thing we're looking at is making sure that all of our firefighters continue to maintain their CPR and first aid classes. And in the remote areas in Kendall Valley and Bondurant, we're trying to make sure that the firefighters up there are capable of responding to an emergency scene and stabilizing the patient until EMS can get there. Now we're trying to make sure that you know, they understand they've got to work within the level of their scope of training and that, you know, not to exceed what they've been trained to do. But it's important that sometimes for some of those more rural responses and emergencies that happen, that we're able to work together with EMS and try to provide the best care for the patient that we can. We've got first aid kits in all of our battalions now, and then the other thing that really does is whenever we have large vehicle crashes, like we've had several of here recently, it better prepares our firefighters to work with the EMTs and make sure that they're speaking a common language and that they understand common expectations. So it's really a benefit for everybody. Other thing, you know, I think a big part of my job is the amount of cooperative meetings that I go to. It's really important for me that I try to meet and discuss with anybody and everybody that's willing to talk about fire with me. And so that's you know, a big push that I have is making sure to offer those partnerships and those collaborative efforts every time I get an opportunity. And then finally, there at the end, our volunteer hours were up around 111 hours last month, and that's just a lot of station maintenance and cleaning and just kind of spring cleaning is really the majority of what that is.
Okay,
so that's my regular report. Any questions there?
No,
I have a couple.
Sure. Oh, go ahead.
I mentioned this morning the DOT thing. How are you working your DOT truck inspections in, or what do you do for that?
Great question. So when we unified, before unification, each one of the six battalions were going to local mechanics and getting that kind of stuff done. After unification, County Road and Bridge does all of our regular maintenance, all of our oil changes and everything that goes along with that. But essentially what happens is anytime anything happens is more than just a regular oil change or regular maintenance, they send the truck off and they try to send it to the manufacturer. So if it's a Peterbilt, they try to send it to Rock Springs and go to the Peterbilt and get, you know, whatever, you know, major maintenance needs to be accomplished. Specific to the DOT inspections, though, what we've been doing is we've actually been bringing the DOT inspector out of Rock Springs, I believe from the CAT dealership, but I'm not 100% positive about that. Road and Bridge will answer that better than I can, but I believe that's who the DOT inspector comes from, is the CAT dealership there. And they come all the way from Rock Springs up to Silver County Road and Bridge and conduct the DOT inspection for our fire apparatus and then, you know, bill accordingly and then return to Rock Springs. And yeah, there's been quite a bit of cost associated with performing those DOT inspections. And essentially, DOT requires anything that weighs more than 26,000 pounds, which is the majority of our fire apparatus, needs to have a DOT inspection just to ensure that it's safe when it's on the road. So it's
once a year.
Yeah, an annual DOT inspection.
So those are up to date, basically. I mean,
I wouldn't say they're up to date. I'm doing the best I can to keep in front of them, but it's a scheduling problem. But yeah.
Well, then,
so what we do is I contact Road and Bridge, and generally beginning about January 1st through May 30th, we try to get all of our fire apparatus in. Right now we've got about 61 pieces of equipment that need to get annual maintenance done on. And so when we schedule that, Warren out there and Alicia worked to schedule the apparatus and do an oil change or, you know, whatever needs to be done. And then if it's necessary, then they schedule the DOT inspection part of it and bring it in. And so
would you have any idea off the top of your head what you spend annually on DOT services?
I don't have an idea, but I can definitely look into that and get back to
curious.
You. I'd be happy to look at it.
My other question is the remote water stations that the county paid to have put in,
mm-hmm.
Do they all function? And I know that I've heard different stories where each one of them has a different lid. So when you get there, you don't know if you can even hook on a lot of times.
Yeah.
Is that something we should address?
Oh, I am trying to address it. And yes, you're accurate. Do they all function? It depends on the installation, who installed it, and how well it was installed, and what level and depth it was installed to. Mm-hmm. There are we call them dry hydrants. Mm-hmm. There are a few dry hydrants in the county that have silted in to the point where they're essentially concreted in, and we can't blow them out. But mm-hmm. But what we do is John Ball is our operations chief, and he travels around the county and he hooks up to them and he tries to blow them out and try to remove that sedimentation that builds up into them. There are a couple of them that I am aware that do not function though, and he's unable to do that annual maintenance and make sure that they're clear of debris. And then on top of that, you are also accurate. There's either a 4.5-inch or a 6-inch connection on some of them, And on some of them, they're male connection. On some of them, they're female connection. And so on a case-by-case basis, the firefighters have got to figure out the correct adapters. But to address that, though, we've put a variety of different adapters on our trucks to, you know, go from 6-inch down to 4.5 or vice versa, or double male or double female. So we do have the ability to connect to the trucks or to the dry hydrants. I would much prefer to see a improvement on that and standardize it. And John has been working on that. And the way I understand it, it's just a question of time, and it's difficult to ask a volunteer to give up their time to go standardize those.
So is that something we should bring up with Road and Bridge?
I don't know if they would be willing to do it. I don't
believe that's a Road and Bridge issue, but maybe if you put something in your budget where we could deal with it.
Because
I feel like if you get, if you're counting on these dry hydrants and you get there and it's not there, it goes back to your drop tanks and all that, mm-hmm. you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, it's definitely much more efficient for us to have as many rural water supply areas that we can access to and then standardize those.
And if they're not functioning, when you take them off the list.
Yeah, agreed. And I do have a map of where they're all at, and I've also got, you know, crosses on the ones that are not functioning.
Okay.
But, I'd be happy to provide that to you.
That's all I have.
Okay. I'll look into the DOT cost, and I'll get back to you before the end of the day and let you know what that looks like.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think it's a very good question.
Go ahead.
Chad, regarding the medical services part, and I know this is for search and rescue as well, with the departure of Dr. Albritton, do you have expectations, or have you had any movement towards who's going to be the replacement for that individual?
So nothing formal yet. I have had a conversation with Dr. Wallace, and he told me that he's still maintaining his licensure in the state of Wyoming, which would allow him to provide that service, and he would be interested in doing that. Same was said from Dr. Albritton is that she would also maintain a local licensure. I hadn't had the conversation if she'd be willing to do it, though, so I don't want to put words in her mouth. Other than that, no, I don't have anything further right now. I'm done with this year's annual firefighter physical, so I've got some time before I have to be prepared for next year, and so I was hoping to schedule a meeting, actually, and ask and see if the option's still available, if we can work with local physicians, or if that's a service that would be appropriate for Dr. Wallace to provide, because when he provided that, he was our fire department medical director for a little over a year, and he absolutely did a phenomenal job for us. I was very, very pleased with the work that he'd done, and I'd be happy to work with him again. I just don't know if he would be able to physically come back and perform those assessments, or if that can be done remotely, or what that would need to look like, or what time commitment would be necessary. So to answer your question succinctly, I've had some peripheral conversations, but nothing in set terms that I could be prepared to present to you.
Well, just one thing I mentioned to the commissioners. The option, perhaps, with Dr. Wallace, of course, he's maintained his Wyoming medical license. The issue then may be what a limited malpractice policy may cost for that. I don't know if you guys carry that forward. I would like to pursue it. He was an excellent individual in that capacity, and I know from my conversations with him, he indicated his willingness to continue with that. And if you got somebody that's willing and you're happy with them, then I think that would be a secure goal to move towards. So I would encourage you to do so, to see if there's anything that we may have to do in terms of supplementing or facilitating that arrangement.
Sure. So I will I'll make a call to Dr. Wallace and formalize that, what that would need to look like, and then be prepared to present that.
Chad and Dr. Burnett, to fill our side in, so Dr. Wallace has already agreed to continue with search and rescue with Wilderness Medical, and he's also agreed to take over our dispatch with the EMD, EFD. So
has he had any concerns on his end in terms, I know when I talk to him, there's always that issue of malpractice and whatever, and I think it's with a limited policy, it's not cost prohibitive. I just wondered if he was pursuing that, because I, like I said, I would encourage that. He's been, he's very knowledgeable. That's his forte, and I think he would do quite well in that. So if there's something we need to do from a budget standpoint, I would like that presented to us as well.
Okay. Yeah, he hasn't, we haven't asked the question, but he didn't have any concerns that he brought up in okay. doing so.
Okay.
Concur. Yeah, he's never brought that up to us, but he's been, you know, even remotely, Shaq, he's been great to work with the good old internet that we've got. He's even worked, you know, through debriefs with us and through case files with us, and so it's been pretty slick.
Yeah.
Not only that, he's still a county resident.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, and he keeps talking about, you know, he gladly arrange, you know, when he's here to.
Right.
We need to have a true sit down.
Oh, okay. So so maybe we could definitely work that out.
Yeah. Maybe we can get it to where it's, you know, he could hit us all on one of his trips.
Well, if there's anything we need to consider from a budgetary standpoint, that's upcoming. So I'm just throwing that out there.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Forewarning.
You need to address that with
me. I'll be prepared. All right, any other questions?
No, you've had it pretty rough today.
Well, no, now we're getting ready to move into the next topic. I'll invite Casey up if he's prepared. All right. We've been trying to make a long-range plan to address the communication issues that we have in Sublette County. I mean, As a brief summary, I've been here for 3 years, and I've tried to address a lot of different problems that we've had with our communication systems, and really it's been a question for me of if we don't address this, it's really compromising the safety of our firefighters, because we're unable right now, using the county's conventional system, to use that in a format that provides consistent coverage and communications for our emergency responders. So we've worked very hard to modernize the radios that were installed in the fire trucks and make them digital capable radios. The easiest way I can equate that is, you remember many years ago we used to have analog cell phones, and then we upgraded and went to digital cell phones. The same similar process is what's going on now with our radio systems. Is we've been using analog radio systems, and recently we've upgraded, and now we're capable of using digital radio systems. Along with that, we've tried to determine what would it look like if we improved our existing county system to modernize it and provide the level of coverage that we need to be, you know, safe and effective and efficient with our emergency responders in the Sublette County, versus what would it look like if we used the statewide system that's already there and available. And so we've been looking very closely at these two alternatives, and right now I'm to the point where I'm really overwhelmed. It's a very specific and technical problem that's beyond my level of knowledge. So I would very much like to bring in somebody smarter than me and analyze the system and make some recommendations to the board about, you know, what can we do to modernize our existing Sublette County system, and what would be required for that. And so we've reached out to a company that comes widely recommended for doing exactly this, of making a, you know, a municipal network or a countywide network or even a statewide network of radio interoperable systems. And we've asked them to provide a proposal for us to say, you know, what would it take for you to be a project manager and start from where we are now to where we'd like to be, and help us to define what that is, where we'd like to be, and then make a comparison for, you know, what's the cost versus the benefit of that, and help us to make a long-range plan. So based on that, I've handed out a proposal to you, and they've essentially described to us that the first step would be to look at our FCC licenses that we have available and determine if those would continue to be feasible as they currently are, or if we need to upgrade how those licenses are provided and where they're provided, off of which towers and sites, and what the wattage of those FCC licenses will allow us to do. and if we can improve that. And then once that's really understood, then the next step of the problem would be what steps would be necessary to modernize your county system to upgrade them and make them a true digital system that would avoid the interference, which is probably one of the major problems that we currently have is the Star Valley, when they use their radio systems, we receive interference here, and when Fremont County uses their radio system, we receive interference here, and it really impedes our ability to efficiently and safely use our radio system. So by going to the digital system, that would significantly improve the reduction in actually I think it would eliminate 100% the interference that's currently being received. And so if we were able to bring in this consulting firm, they would be able to look at that and say, this is exactly what you need, this is how you need to do it. And then not only that, the primary proposal here is that the radio consultant can create a request for proposals that's written in the language that would be necessary for a manufacturer to come in and present, whatever their bid would be, and then we could objectively analyze what that would be, and then make a decision about, what is the cost of this and what is the benefit of that, compared to other alternatives. And so essentially, that's what I would like to see happen is to contract with this radio consultant and bring them in to guide us from where we are now to where we'd like to be. And I've had several conversations with Sheriff Lear, and I would defer to him for a few moments and ask him to.
Sure. So, in a nutshell, we have two options. So one, we can continue with the WildLink, the state system, or we can do a standalone system just for Sublette County. To be honest with you, right now, our meetings with the state and WildLink haven't been very favorable, and I think that. A lot of people in the state are having some concerns with that as well. So we don't know which route that's going to go. So we need to be prepared. As Shad stated, we're coming up to some deadlines where we're required to change over some systems, FCC regulatory changes that are going to be required, nationwide. And those are coming up. Our deadline with WildLink is October of 2018. After that date, then they have proposed a billing for number of radios and usage of radios. Shad and I have estimated that per county, that's going to cost us between $30,000 and $40,000 a year just for using WildLink radios, even though that was never part of the agreement with the initial contract. And some things to consider if this is not a complete state buy-in, if all 23 counties and municipalities don't agree to go with this, then is that money going to be forced upon those counties that are still using WildLink? So is that cost even going to go up? I think we've received, or at least Director Panos and the state have reached out to maybe consider another meeting with the commissioners. As our last meeting didn't go very well, but maybe to talk and see if they have any new direction or they can give us some answers that we desperately need to move forward with WildLink. And if not, I agree with Shad's proposal here to go forward with Mr. Hart. He's been very instrumental in helping us get this far. Already done some research, and I trust and feel strongly on his background and education on what he can provide for us, and it'll be a good system. So,
are you suggesting to reach out to WildLink one more time then? Or?
I think that's the conclusion we came to. Give them one more chance.
Okay.
Step up to the plate. If you're going to allow us, to be a part of the conversation and allow our input, then we're willing to work with you. But if we're going to be, put on the back burners, then. Mary?
Director Panos' office contacted me Friday scheduling for the commissioners. I haven't called them back yet.
Right. They want to talk with the commissioners?
Director Panos.
Director Panos. I realize that, but all right.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, go ahead.
My question there is that this Mr. Panos, if he wants to talk to me about fishing, I'll be more than happy to talk to him. But when he wants to talk about these radios, he has to talk to these people,
and that
because
was,
I have absolutely no idea.
And that's where the last meeting went awry.
Mm-hmm.
is that he said that he needed to be talking with us and not everybody else. But Tom,
I think this future meeting, a couple of us will be there to reiterate that these are our leads. They're directing us, and maybe he will then sit down and chat.
Commissioner Burnett.
Mr. Chairman, the committee that I was on at the WCCA, which had to do with safety, this was the topic that we spent most of our time discussing. And there are quite a few counties that are questioning whether they're going to move forward with Wild Lake. One of the committee members did have a conversation with Director Panos at that meeting, who seemed to indicate or at least made the statement that he's going to have all these towers up and going this summer in July, whatever. But the surrounding counties, Fremont, Teton, Sweetwater, especially are concerned about the lack of fulfilling those promises and the services and so on. So it is a considerable concern. And then the question is, what do we do for backup and an alternative? So if Director Panos wants to come talk to us, I think that's fine, but I think you guys ought to have a seat at the table as well.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, I would suggest that perhaps you represent the commission at that meeting.
I'd be glad to.
And include everybody else like we did in the previous meeting.
Well, I think we invite him to this meeting.
To this meeting?
To the commissioner's meeting, yes.
Really?
Yes. And all of our other people, too.
When you have all our other people here.
Okay. Well, that's fine with me. Gentlemen.
Because Fremont County particularly was concerned that, you know, we're not satisfied. If we don't go through, then what are you guys going to do if you can't use our towers? And he's got a good point because, you know, Teton County's got nothing if they can't beam off of the peak up here. So
right,
there's a lot of concern.
White Pine.
Well, and it seems that his concern more centers around his snowplow drivers talking to dispatch than it does any emergency services in the state of Wyoming.
I think what
and we don't care about his snowplow drivers.
Shad and KFC are proposing is that we get this consultant on board to help us determine, have a better educated decision on whether we move forward with Wildland or without. This guy can make that proposal.
Well, but would we want to have that meeting with Wildlink
yes.
first?
Yes.
Or we, so
yes.
Yeah.
Before we agreed to move forward with this proposal?
I would think that this proposal would help us to be better prepared for that meeting. But regardless if we accept this proposal or not, I'm sure that if we reached out to the radio consultant and asked for some advice or specific questions that should be asked as part of that meeting, I'm sure that we could be well prepared for the meeting with Wild Link and Director Panos and make sure that that was productive. And then based on the results of that, and then we can make a formal decision on whether or not to move forward with one direction versus the other direction and what benefits either alternatives provide.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Now comes the ugly question. The budget. Where would the money come from if we decided to go out on our own? Would it come out of the fire budget, or would it be out of our budget? Would it be?
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chairman, we've had this discussion because we have law enforcement, we have fire, we have EMS, who has nothing to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Search and rescue, all the emergency service folks that are going to fall into the same pot that we're going to have to be concerned about. And I think at this point in time, it's the end of May, as moving forward with this, we're truly going to have to budget for it. I do have money reserved that I put aside several years ago to take care of communication issues and IT issues, those types of things. So we've got a pot of money to draw from, but I would hope that we would be able to budget in this year to figure out how we're going to go forward, because as we talked yesterday, May 2017 is pretty far from October, November of 2018. But if we're sitting here next year looking like this, we're going to be in a world of hurt. So we've got to get moving. But we can plan. We can plan. We can plan and we can budget.
Is there a possibility that we can meet with Mr. Panos sometime between now and the 6th of June?
How about at our next commission meeting?
Our next commission. What I'm going to propose, I wanted to talk to you and let you know. We all wanted to let you know that he had contacted us. That's what I'm going to suggest, that he get here the 6th for that next regular meeting.
Because that would be right in the middle of our budget.
We'll be starting.
So let me ask this question. When we say our people, that includes you and Shad. And
you know, I agree with you. I think we need to invite everybody at the table. Because this not only affects emergency services, this affects road and bridge.
Yeah.
This affects, other entities within the county. I mean, even down to Game and Fish, the Park Service, BLM, Highway Patrol. Yes, it will affect everybody.
But as Shad said, a lot of this is out of their spectrum of knowledge. So would this be something we'd want to have? I really like your idea of having some questions wrote up by this consultant. And we all know Dave, if we can,
I can keep him
grounded.
On sure.
He's an asset to this conversation, possibly. You use your judgment there.
Yep. No, I
Well, the interoperability committee are those people.
Okay.
All those people sit at that table, and they're the folks who should be here.
Because we're going to rely on you guys for those technical questions and those.
And again, that was the attempt of the first. I'm sorry, Commissioner Bowser.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Do we know in preparation for this meeting where we need additional towers, and whether we're going to do them or whether Wildlink's going to do them? That seems to be our limiting factor.
Do you want to answer that, or?
So yes, we do. We do have a fairly good idea of where our gaps in coverage are in the county, based on the preliminary work done by this consulting firm. They've done some programming and modeling and user feedback questionnaires and asked, you know, where do we need to fill the gaps in? And based on that, they've provided a preliminary report that says that this is what it would look like if you use the conventional system. This is what it would look like if you use the Wildlink system. And both of them have significant gaps in them. Based on that preliminary report, we do have a pretty good idea of where we would like to make some improvements, specifically on the conventional system and the Wildlink system in the southeast portion of the county. Basically, between Big Sandy opening down to Highway 191 is a huge gap in our coverage. And then there's some additional places as well that we could definitely enhance.
And Dan, yes, we have proposed these to Wildlink and the PSEC as potential locations to best benefit everybody.
There is an existing Forest Service tower on Muddy Ridge, which might meet that, if we can hook onto it, might meet that criteria.
Mm-hmm. There's also a site owned and operated by Enterprise on Highway 191 that's already got the building's built, the tower's there, the power's there, and they've expressed interest in partnering with us to further improve that site and allow county use for emergency response on that site. And that would basically, it'd be facing straight towards Muddy Ridge and provide coverage there as well for minimal cost to our organizations.
Would it be beneficial to pay the consultant to be here at that meeting?
Good idea.
And without going into this contract right now, but just covering his fees for attending and him knowing what questions to ask?
I would feel very comfortable having him be here. And
is he going to be prepared without going through this step?
Oh, absolutely.
We actually had him. We had him on teleconference.
So he's
their meeting with Director Panos.
He's on the spot then.
Okay. Yeah.
So Director Panos understands that we're looking at another avenue.
I don't know that he does.
I don't think he does. No.
Well, I think he's aware that the counties in general are looking at other avenues because the service is just not there or dependable.
I think to touch base for Andy at the Wyoming Commissioner Association meeting, this Wildlink come up. frequently.
Yeah.
At the end of one of the conversations, Pete said he wanted to vote on how many counties were going to drop out if the billing was actually implemented, and there was 6 counties raised their hands. So Pete is aware of it, and I believe that Pete and I had long conversations about it too, probably had gotten in touch with Director Panos.
Okay. My suggestion then is at our next meeting, let's get Director Panos here. Let's make sure we have all the players at the table. And if you can contact the consultant and see if he is willing to attend via conference call or whatever, also.
Do you have a preference, conference call versus in person?
In person's
person,
best.
In person.
And expensive. Where's he from?
New York.
Conference call. Okay, conference call. Yeah. I guess...
New York.
Make sure that he's, armed for bear for that meeting, too, because he's going to be the one that'll know what questions to ask as well as you guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's absolutely informed of the progress that we've made so far, and...
Okay.
Definitely defer to his judgment.
Mr. Chairman, if we can't make the 6th work, are you guys...
Make what?
If we can't make the 6th...
If Director Panos says it's booked.
Yeah, if we can't make that date work.
Oh, gotcha.
Do you want to go to the next June date?
Yeah.
Or do you want to call a special? Or
can we drop back to 2 commissioners and deal with it then?
I don't,
all of
his,
us?
I don't think his ego's going to allow
I don't either.
That, Tom.
I agree with you.
You know? I mean, that's what
I
we
know
were
he was pretty put out.
Yeah.
I'm good with a special
meeting. I'm good with a special meeting
to.
As well.
Okay.
Let's get it going for these two.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe you could do it if we had an hour blocked out during budget days.
We're gonna be pretty tight during budget,
that's
but
fine. I
that would
that.
Be an option that I might... I'll see what I can get.
Okay.
But if we had an evening that week
just,
or whatever.
Yeah, an evening would be better, of course.
Do you guys want to touch off on the extra $6,000 for the...
Oh, sure.
On top of that?
On the last page of the proposal is an additional proposal outside of what TUSA Consulting would be able to provide. And it's a specialized... skill that Easy Spectrum Analysis provides, and essentially that's a company that comes in and analyzes and reviews our existing FCC licenses and what coverage they would provide, and then they make whatever tweaks or adjustments are necessary and determine if it would cause interference for our neighboring counties or anybody else that would be affected by those changes. And then based on that, they make a final report that they can submit to the FCC with recommendations that we could make these changes without negatively impacting anybody else. So that essentially think about of by bringing in the Easy Spectrum Analysis, they would make it much, much simpler for us to change and improve our FCC licenses. And they've provided a quote, I don't recall, $6,000 off of... $6,000 to do that service for us, which does not include the actual application licensees fees that would also be included. But this is just to analyze our FCC licenses and figure out how it would impact our neighbors and other people that would be using them.
Clean them up and utilize them at the best.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Where am I? I'm missing
the very last page.
Yeah. I'll switch you.
I don't think
you may have got the former version.
And possibly what licenses we would need to better our system if we do go our own.
Exactly. Okay. If we can use our existing FCC frequencies, or if we need to look at obtaining additional frequencies or changing the frequencies or whatever that needs to look like, the Easy Spectrum would be the company that guides that process and has a specialized skill set to make that happen. I don't know for sure. It's way above my head to try to understand that.
If we don't get this meeting before budget, we're going to have to discuss funding for the consultant.
Right.
Also, so we won't know if we don't have this meeting before budget.
Right.
That's going to be the problem.
unless you budget for this contingent, on a contingency.
Probably what we'd have to do.
Yeah.
So when you mention budget, Andy, are you thinking budget as far as building out our own system? What are you thinking?
I'm even just thinking budgeting this.
Mary mentioned she already had that in a pool, a reserve account.
I mean, we've got reserve accounts and such like that.
So are we in that big a bind, or I'm just trying to feel.
It's still cart in front of the horse, isn't it?
Yes. Absolutely. We need to have the meeting with Director Panos first, and that's... So I guess we can still address this during our budget session and do it contingently.
And I think in terms of our meeting with Director Panos, if he can't meet us at our next scheduled meeting, we need to try to accommodate him sometime in the evening prior to the end of that week.
Yeah. Probably the sooner the better.
We need from White Otter's commitment to get those towers, and that our limiting factor, WildLink, is coverage.
Yes, sir, you're absolutely right. But in the previous meeting, they weren't receptive to our suggestions for improvement.
But then the other issue we have is paying for the use of it. We're talking $40,000 a year just to use it? Just to use our radios on it?
That covers maintenance?
Yeah, who knows?
That does not cover maintenance.
Does not cover maintenance. That's just a fee to use it.
Is that one of those things, the more you use it, the more you pay?
Pretty, that's what they're looking at. Yeah. They're almost looking at every time you push the button, they're going to charge you.
Right.
On top of that, if other counties pull out the bill is still there. The price is going to go up for anybody left remaining.
So this is just a glorified cell phone service.
And I think the other thing that we have advantage over a lot of other counties is we own three of our towers currently, or two?
We own two. Yeah. We lease the third.
So we've already got a foot in the door on moving forward, whichever direction.
Right.
So in a perfect world, we're leaning towards the best case scenario would be to do it on our own.
As optimistic as we like to remain.
Yes.
I don't see it happening.
You know, talking to other agencies, talking to Shad, his firemen, our deputies, WildLink has been the best system that we have had from inception. As far as easy to talk, listen, statewide coverage. I mean, I think ultimately we would like to go with WildLink, but if they're not going to give us a seat at the table and listen to recommendations and what's going to be best for everyone, then no.
But you don't think that going on our own, we would have here in Sublette County, we would have as good a service as you get from WildLink?
Yes. Oh, no. There's undoubtedly we could have the same or better service than what WildLink can provide.
At a cost.
At a cost. Right.
I would go so far as to say we would definitely improve the level of service, because if we were to accept this proposal and build the system, it would be built to our needs as local emergency responders, as opposed to a statewide system that's prioritized other counties and is trying to meet a different audience. This would be, if we built it for ourselves, it would be specified to meet our needs. But there's a cost associated with that, and we've got to figure out, is the cost worth the benefit?
Let's get a meeting scheduled with Director Panos, and I would say let's see if we can have a special evening meeting even before our next commission meeting. Okay. See if you, the sooner the better.
Let me see what I can do. Okay.
And then we'll have a little bit of an idea of what we need to do by the time we hit budget that first week.
And Barry, for the record, I'll be out next week, and I think Joel will too.
Oh, yeah, you guys are gone.
Next week, you guys are going.
Tuesday Memorial Day.
Friday. Okay, yeah. We're getting there then, aren't we? Okay. Did you have something else for us in your schedule?
It's brief,
time?
But I see Mr. Wilkerson's here, so I'd be more than happy to defer.
Okay, he's in no hurry. Let's just talk sandbagging real quick.
All right.
So, did you get the email from Jim Mitchell?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Are we all on the same page on sandbagging? Do we?
I believe
we need to do.
No, I believe so. I believe that was an agreement that we made early on back in January.
Okay.
That was the direction that we were going to go. So okay. It's been put in the media. It's been put out in releases. So I would say that we stand firm.
Okay.
To that and not change
so
it.
So we're in good shape as far as that goes.
Well, the question during the meeting, did we agree to provide caches of sand throughout the county that could be used, though?
We did, and there were three locations that we came up with. I know that there's a recent one. Ben Franklin had asked about Daniel. I can get, I'll get with Jim and Roan Bridge and see if we can't put another one somewhere in Daniel. I know that there's a YDOT there right at the junction that we may be able to use to put the sand pile in. We can at least do that. So.
Okay, so the big question is Butch aware of all this?
And he has been. He's actually been restockpiling the sand as it diminishes. And
okay,
so
good. So that's taken care of.
Yep.
Okay.
But as far as us actually, sandbagging for people, we decided not to.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's all I had.
Okay.
Just wanted to make sure we were on the same page.
So we have a place in Marbleton.
We're
talking about a place in Daniel, and then there's one here in
Pinedale. One in Pinedale. There's one in about Bondurant.
About Bondurant. Okay.
Yep. Yep. And we'll get that out on media, Facebook, and to let people know. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the essential question. Was the additional cash in Daniel?
All right.
Okay. Good deal. That was all I had. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Onward.
I did have one other thing, but again,
yeah.
I can
go ahead and go ahead and do it while you're here.
Do you want to come up, Tanner? I'm tag teaming today, so
you bet.
So
have the seat empty.
Just to make sure. So contract starts with a helicopter June 1st. Looks like they are going to come up a few days early just to start training and get pilot proficiencies done. So I'll let Kenna address that.
Okay, yeah, we've actually got a pool of about 6 pilots this year that we're going to be able to pull from. We ran into an issue last year. We had the 2 pilots that they included with our contract. And then one had a baby 3 months preemie. So kind of left all of us kind of in a bind of getting pilots certified again. So not only do they have to meet the requirements that when we put out for bid of so many hours of long line experience, of short haul experience specifically, they come and they have to perform a proficiency test. So on May 30th, you'll see the helicopter hovering down at the Pinedale Airport, and there's 3 different obstacle courses essentially that they've got to go through and pass time. With time and proficiency of skill use. We have a third party, Tim Fahler, come down from Montana that actually performs that testing. So it's nice to have a neutral third party. Instead of the first couple years, we always performed those tests, and it may be like the guy was like really close. He held it like for 2 minutes and 58 seconds, not 3 minutes. So we just want to cut and dry, either they pass or they fail. So it was nice to have a third party do that. Tim's done a wonderful job. So they'll be doing that for a couple of days, and then we start paying for the contract June 1 through September 30. So there's 122 days again. Year 2 of the possible 5-year, as long as we're capable to continue the contract with it. Again, thank you for your support of that. We had several life saves last year, and I think that was a huge, huge plus having the access to that. So
sounds like perhaps our SRS money might come through again.
There's a chance.
There's a chance.
Yeah, still that's nothing all. Definite, huh? Yeah.
Absolutely. It's been introduced in the Senate.
Okay.
But that's as far as it's got. So, assuming that it doesn't come through, Mary will have to figure out where to get the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To because we used the Title III money.
We used Title III money to fund our helicopters, Title III.
And I continually brought that up in D.C.
Good.
Okay, well, thank you for allowing that.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. So we pay, the county pays to rent these helicopters through the summer for emergency uses. Right. But we're going to train these pilots that are going to come in here for long lining extraction or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we have to pay for that, whether it be the guy coming from Montana or whatever. How come these guys aren't coming in already trained?
No, let me clarify that. They come in trained. They come in with over 3,000 hours of short-haul experience, which is a very, it's very different than long-lining. Long-lining is, you know, just a single pilot grabbing, you know, anything from the geological work to, you know, air conditioners on top of high-rises. Well, with the short haul, they've got to come in with over 3,000 hours, which is, you know, a lot. We only put 48 hours, I think, on the helicopter this last year of actual mission work. It's just a simple, they've got to come in and they've got to pass that test to prove to us that they've got the skill.
So it's a testing more than a training.
Yeah, okay. It's a testing. Very yes, good. Okay. Not a training.
And it's our test.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not a national test or
correct.
Anything like that. Okay. Very good.
It's actually a very common test that's used through the companies, but yeah, that is specifically for us.
They're showing proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's very stressful for them because they work for Air Resources, you know, and they have and they continue to will, but their entire summer is on the line for about 10 minutes.
They can't pass that test. They don't have a job.
Yeah. Pretty much. So yeah, it's pretty stressful. So.
No, are they stationed here in the county for us the entire summer?
Yeah. Yep. They're on 24/7. Essentially, we go, you know, 30 minutes before sunrise to 30 before sundown. But they're with us 24/7, and they're responsible for, you know, finding a place to rent for their men, how they rotate them in and out. They rent the space at the hangar.
They just zoned a new building for them. Remember that?
No, that was not for them. That was a private entity.
That was a different entity.
Mm-hmm. Ours is usually held right, which has been really nice and convenient. They allow us the southwest corner of the main hangar there, so it's right next to the fuel tanks. It's pretty slick, in and out pretty quick.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent. Any further questions, gentlemen? Okay. Thank you, Kenna.
Thank you, guys.
Sure. Anything else?
You guys and y'all got my email right about coming to watch us if you're interested.
Yep.
You going to put one of these guys in a screamer suit?
You betcha.
Excellent.
I'd love to.
There's a reason they call it a screamer suit.
I was not going to comment on that. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary.
Yep.
Thank you.
Justin, sorry for the pause, buddy.
I'm not just noble for the screamer suit.
I don't know what it is, but I'll volunteer.
I want to go with it.
It sounds like a good time.
I do, yeah. Sorry about keeping you.
No worries.
I'm always up to keep my schedule flexible.
Good deal. So go ahead and fill us in, Josh.
Okay, so I just kind of want to give an update of where we're at. We've generated quite a bit of interest at this point. What I'm waiting on is, I guess, your guys' final go forward on the program. We've talked to employees. We've generated interest. The only thing that would stop the program, short of you guys stopping it right now, is we have to have a minimum 10% participation of 160 employees that are currently eligible for your benefits. Mm-hmm. And so with that, we would, so short of all of a sudden a bunch of them who said they're interested saying they're not, we would move forward with the program. We've already gotten extreme interest from several people that have expressed they can't get insurance anywhere else. This is the only program, the only time that they'll have that opportunity, short of us offering this program through another employer, and they somehow end up with that employer. This, like we mentioned when we first came in, this is not a program that we just throw out to just everyone. It's very specific to an employer. That has to meet certain criteria. You guys meet that criteria. So, it is a great opportunity. There are some of their family members that are uninsurable, some of their children who are already uninsurable, some spouses. And so to me, it has generated good interest in it. We're ready to move forward and put in the applications.
Are you convinced you'll have enough participate to?
I really believe that we will have enough to participate, and New York Life is even willing to work with us just a little bit. Like if we have a few people who've been straggling, that they'll try to push it a little bit more, just to because the hardest part is catching these people at the right time. You know, they're busy. We don't want to be taking up their time, and you know, some people couldn't make the group meeting, so I've been trying to catch them after work. You know, on an individual basis. So.
Very good. And once again, this is the life insurance program, right?
Yep.
And the county's participation in it is simply collecting money out of a paycheck.
It's literally just the payroll setup.
Just a payroll type setup.
Yeah, and we're
Mary, you're convinced that's easily done, simple to do, added hardship.
I talked to Carrie about it. She said it shouldn't take her more than 20 minutes to get the whole thing set up, because it's literally a form that we just take from that we have. I'll create the spreadsheet with names, how much money, and all that. And then we'll submit a form to New York Life that'll basically open up the communication. She'll just write the check.
Once it's set up, no additional workforce expenditures?
No.
I don't think so, because our computer program for payroll, we have deductions. I mean, once you load it into there, it will happen.
Okay.
We'll generate an accounts payable situation with New York Life to transmit the...
There you go. The county collects the funds and then pays it to New York Life. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're the middle guy.
Okay.
That's all. So, Justin, when do you think start date would be? What are you shooting for?
What do you mean start date? For which?
With the whole life.
Yeah, the whole life.
Get all ready to go. When would we start collecting? So
I think your first collection would come on... it either comes out on May 31st or June 31st. The policy goes completely into effect on July 1st. Now, those who sign up for it right now, let's say they signed up for it today, they die tomorrow, even though we haven't made a collection yet because they already signed onto the program, they're covered. New York Life would take the first month's premium and pay. So that's just their delay process work of trying to get a group of people set up with the payroll and all of that. So.
Okay. I don't have any issues with implementing this program. It's not a cost to the county. Easily set up. It sounds like some of our employees would benefit from it. So.
Do you, just in your preliminary research, you said you had a lot of interest. Can you put a percentage rate on that? 50%?
I would say we're sitting between around 15% right now for participation. Which I know is not high, but the biggest people that it's appealing to are the uninsurable. And then I am dealing with how do I get to employees who chose not to show up to the group meetings because they don't understand the program. And so I'm trying to implement, how do I get in front of them because I don't exactly have just access to them. You know, I could run into their department and say, hey, can I meet with you sometime in the evening next week? You know, that's about all I can do. So, and that's kind of, we did four group meetings, and out of that, we probably got 40 people who showed up. So, out of the 160 that are eligible for it. So, that's a 25% interest rate that showed up for it. So,
I'm fine with it. Like you said, it doesn't cost the county money. I think the job lays in his hands.
And it does.
That's all I can say.
You know, and I am trying to implement that. You know, this being that I've been in the business for a year now, this being my first program of this size, I've been we're quickly figuring out how to implement it and how to be efficient at it. So,
you said the only out would be if you guys don't get 10% participation.
Right.
So let's say you start out with 15%, you lose another 5.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to dump it then?
I will have to go before New York Life and basically ask them to either make an exception or they will draw a hard line and say we can't do it. And the reason why they have to have the 10% participation is because we are taking some good with some bad, you know, because of the draw of it to the uninsurable people. That's usually the majority you get, so you're trying to get enough of people who are healthy to kind of offset the people who are going to die sooner than the other ones, you know. That's just how the numbers break down for life insurance.
It's like any other insurance program. Right. You got the healthy ones to pay for the non-healthy.
Does this also, and this is probably a silly question, but this extends out to their family, I'm sure.
It does. Okay. Yes.
So that should enlarge your enrollment, I would think.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Any thoughts, concerns, gentlemen? We would need to give him the go-ahead, and we would need to do that via motion.
I move to give him the go-ahead.
Okay.
Second.
Perfect. Been moved and seconded that we grant permission, Mr. Justin Wilkerson through New York Life Insurance to institute the whole life insurance program here in Sublette County, to Sublette County employees. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, John.
Carry on, Justin.
Thank you.
You bet. Absolutely. Mary, have you got some extracurriculars for us to do?
Yeah, I got a little business.
Come on in and let's get your business taken care of. Do you know what time they're expecting us at the library?
11:30, quarter to 12.
Okay, so let's get your business taken care of. We may wait till the afternoon to pay bills and maybe to do our reports. I suspect that might take a while. You guys probably got a lot to report. I do. I got a load of stuff, man.
I have a bond for Bill Meekum, who is the treasurer for the Pinedale Airport Board. Then I have a contract for services between Sublette County and P&G Golf, LLC. These are the folks that are operating the pro shop at the golf course.
Yep.
And this contract was made by Matt, by us. So it's been generated on our side, and it is signed by P&G already. So we just need to make the final signature.
We'd need a motion to enter into this contract with P&G. Do you gentlemen trust Matt's?
Yeah.
Or do you want to read it?
Board is okay with it.
Yeah.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we enter into a contract with P&G Golf LLC for running the pro shop at the clubhouse.
Those are payments for you.
If you'd like a little time to look through that before we vote, that would be fine. Commissioner Burnett, then your at WCCA, your committee was the ones that had the YDOT YOLINK discussion.
Yes.
So it's under health and.
It's health, safety, and social services, and the dominating talk was safety, and that's where YOLINK came in. We actually didn't get to the other topic we were going to discuss much, and that was Title 25.
We did not get to it. Okay.
We spent almost an hour and a half.
Everything on YOLINK.
Yeah.
What are we paying?
Is there anything that you need to report to us about YOLINK before we head into this meeting with Director Panos?
I think just on the part of those, and actually that was a very active committee. There were 12 commissioners on that committee. They were looking at a shortfall of only 5 people, but there was a good number, 12. And there was a lot of skepticism.
Gotcha.
She has a contract also.
And I forget the gentleman's name that spoke with Panos went out the room and got a call.
She's paying us.
But
isn't there money to be made in the
brochure? It's
probably very little.
A major concern.
They think there
there's some counties that aren't impacted as much, primarily because of geographics. Well, there's flat, there's not much in way of obstruction.
Right.
But a lot of surrounding counties, particularly Fremont and Sweetwater, expressed some concern. And a lot of concern for the fees being charged.
Okay. Well, if there's anything that you think we need to know before we hit this meeting with Director Panos, let us know.
I'll go back and review those notes.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, that's 1 year.
Okay. What else you got there, Mary?
We received a letter from Rachel Grimes, who is resigning from the rec board, so that will leave a vacancy there. And you need to accept that resignation, but the other part of that is of course, to fill that vacancy. We will be in the process this next month of advertising for appointments the 1st of July. Might make sense that we just add that to the list, as opposed to doing something like right now.
So we need to accept her resignation.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept Rachel Grimes' resignation from the rec board with our appreciation. All in favor say aye.
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 You haven't voted on the contract yet.
Did it make it back?
Yes.
So there's a motion on the table to accept, motion and a second to accept the contract with P&G Golf LLC. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Then I have an application from the Boulder Bar and Grill for the Todd Stevie Horse Sale, which is June 10th at the fairgrounds, for a catering permit.
Yep. We need to accept that.
Yep. Make a motion to accept that.
Second. Been moved and seconded that we approve the catering permit for the horse sale. Gelding sale, Western Wyoming Select Gelding sale, coming up June 10th. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Being out of town on June 10th, I saved myself a lot of money.
You do?
I can send a representative.
Yep.
And I have just a couple of thank you notes. I'm in the process now of receiving letters from the scholarship kids. They send letters. Some of them send thank yous. Also, they send letters. They send the information that I requested because I asked them for their acceptance at a college someplace. So I have contact information for that, and have ID numbers and those types of things. So I have a scholarship thank you. But then I also have a thank you. It's pretty cute. That came from the rodeo team. So, okay. A picture and a thank you.
This is Scott Miller?
Noble.
Oh, Scott Noble. Tell Scotty he needs to work on his signature.
I'm staying out.
His penmanship's good, but his signature needs work.
I don't have any room to talk.
Mary, speaking of the scholarships, I know you're busy. So, in your travels, when you come up with the list, which I'm going to get from the counselor in Pinedale and the counselor from Big Piney, some things that they are having problems with.
Oh, okay.
So when we get everybody together for next year, we'll have an idea. Mm-hmm. So when something pops in,
wow,
you can put it somewhere.
All right, okay.
Just
you got something
that you think we need to change, whether it be administrative or however.
Okay, yeah. So what's happening now as far as the scholarship business is concerned, we've awarded the scholarships to the seniors, and now I have the applications coming in from the renewal kids.
Ah, okay.
So those are due, and you'll actually award those on the 6th. So we're waiting for grades, basically, and most everybody's winding up their semester right now. So I have a few of those right now, but these kids, they know what they're doing. They'll get their things in. So anyway, but yeah.
Okay.
And some of our kids are graduating. That's pretty exciting, huh? Yeah. So, Mr. Chairman, I think that's all I have.
Okay, very good. We probably ought to go over to lunch pretty quick. Do you want to report on any of your WCCA things before we take off, or do you want to postpone that till after?
I can start if we've got time.
Yeah, I got a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
The Elections, Land Use, Government, and Operations Committee was very interesting because I found out that when it comes to extraterritorial jurisdictions, there's a lot of counties that have got headaches, a lot of problems that we don't seem to have here.
Right.
And it sounded like I mentioned it to some of you that we had a bump in the road here several years ago. But some counties, Laramie County, Cheyenne, and Laramie, have really got some issues with working with the towns in reference to who's in charge of subdivisions and things like that. The other one was the consolidation of the workman's compensation. Are we going to do that? And it's still in the works from a statewide, but it's got to be all in or all out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's still on the table. And they'll be talking with Pete Overmiller with the legislature, and how are we going to do that. The other thing they talked about was sharing data that's already public knowledge on a statewide website, kind of like what we have here, but they want to do one at the state so you can get, you know, everything from one website, whether it be the data on GPS or whatever, and it's all information that's already there. And but that's still, they're still talking about that.
So they're talking about
putting it
statewide,
a statewide website for all of our information that we already have on our website here in the county. So it would be transferred from our county website to the statewide website. So anybody wouldn't have to go to each individual county to get their stuff.
They can do it. They can go to the state website right now and link to us.
Well, we're ahead of everybody else, I can tell you that much, because there were several questions asked, well, you guys have that already?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah,
mm-hmm.
You do. Yeah. And I took a trip with Butch up South Piney over to Calpet. I found out where all the gravel pits are and a lot of information, and it was kind of a fun trip. We went... The road that goes from up Middle Piney over to the Calpet Road was completely underwater.
Oh.
And we went anyway.
And Did you have to walk? Did you have to walk?
No, we drove the truck.
I know. But
and when we got to the bottom of the bridge that goes across South Piney, there's a dip. And when you climb up, well, that was, it wasn't coming in my window, but it was really close. And so, but you could see when you got up on top of the bridge, it was only like that thick. But then when you dropped off, it was deep there too. But Bush didn't care. He just, we went through it. And we were fine. But I didn't realize that there's such things as a community gravel pit, things like that. Mm-hmm. So it was a very educational trip for me. So, Mr. Chairman, that's
excellent.
All I have.
Thank you, Commissioner Rauhauser. Commissioner Noble?
I went to the Energy Committee meetings. The big topic there was air quality, ozone. Sublette County was fun.
Yeah.
No one else seems to deal with that but us. Everything seems to be on track with that. We went to a dispatch for one of the mines. That was interesting. The amount of technology that they implement there. They watch the weather so they know how to control their mine safety. And that was something that came up at the meeting. There's a couple areas in the state that don't have radar coverage that they wanted the county or state county commissioner association to address.
Mm.
As far as other meetings, went to Wildlink yesterday. That's about it. Pretty quiet.
Okay. Commissioner Brown.
I don't have much other than we've already talked about the DEQ meeting and the committee meeting regarding Wildlink. And there was nothing definitive come from that meeting. after the meeting when they addressed the general session of the conference attendees, as Commissioner Noble said, the question was raised of how many people might counties might withdraw from that service, and there were six or seven and that said they were would consider that. So
were we one of them?
Yes.
Perfect. I think there's just a lot of gray area.
Oh boy. Well, there's a lot to discuss on that.
Well, apparently, I don't know, he did, I forget the commissioner's name that he spoke with, I've got it written down, but he made a statement that they intended to have those towers up and completed by July or this summer, and I don't know that that's a realistic statement.
Worms in a roadless area.
Yeah, they've been saying that as long as I've been a commissioner.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So that's all I have.
Thank you, Commissioner.
And I think the other huge concern is the way the billing's working out. Campbell County and Sublette County are going to be the lion's share of it if we're not careful.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely right.
So
we'll be paying most of that.
That goes back to Shad's proposal.
Yeah. Well, let's have that meeting with Director Panos and then we'll continue on. In light of your voice, we'll accept a brief report from you.
Good.
Commissioner Valsman.
WCCA budget is adopted with no changes. Okay. Just what went out by email. Public lands meeting talked about the need for natural resource plans, which we have. Talked about healthy forest. I talked about our forest collaborative going on here. Update on the use of good neighbor authority, where the state can manage the forest, and problems with her report on BLM right-of-ways. The BLM statewide is trying to get all right-of-ways perpetual for counties, where they don't have to be renewed ever so often.
Mm, that's good.
That pretty well covers it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Bousman. In light of the stack of things I have here, I'll defer to this afternoon. We'll adjourn and go have lunch at the library.
Okay.
Thank you. Be back at 1 o'clock.